by this tape voice. Well, friends of Jesus, hear this tape voice this morning. Your mission, should you decide to accept it, can be found on the front of your bulletin. It's been printed there for a number of months now, and we'll look at some scriptures to talk about it. I don't think that I'm going to tell you anything brand new this morning, but I will remind you some important scriptures as we focus on what is the mission of the church, particularly a grace church as we understand the Bible and what God has called us to do. I'd like for us to declare the mission here together this morning. Let's do so from the bulletin. Our church exists to help people know God's Son, fellowship with God's people, worship in God's church, grow in God's grace, and serve in God's world. You'll notice the five bold words. They're all verbs. Know fellowship, worship, grow, and serve. If you wanted to link them together a little bit from memory, it could be know and grow, fellowship and worship, and serve. And if you want to put them all in a simple sentence, you might put it like this. Our mission is knowing and worshiping Christ, growing through fellowship and service. Our mission is knowing and worshiping Christ, fellowship, growing through fellowship and service. I'd like to talk to you about those various points of our mission this morning. One key verse, if you, we're going to be flying through some Bible verses along the way. You can turn if you wish, but or you can just listen. John 17:3. As we talk about what are we to be all about, fundamental point that we're all to be about is our mission is to help people know God's Son. John 17:3 says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." People know a lot of things. I can't think of anything more important than knowing eternal life. Knowing how to live on forever and ever and ever in a qualitative, uplifted state. How does one come to know eternal life? According to the Bible, we know eternal life by knowing God through Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. What the church, what are we to be about? If we're not to be about introducing people to God's Son through eternal life, then we're to be about nothing, really. John chapter 3. Remember Nicodemus' little encounter with Jesus? They had the encounter. And Jesus said something profound. He says, how you can enter into the kingdom of God? He said, unless you are born all over again, or it could be translated, unless you're born from above, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so the church's fundamental primary responsibility is always has to do with introducing people to Christ. Because Christ is the entrance to the kingdom. He holds the keys to the kingdom of God. He holds the kingdom in His hand. He holds the keys, which open heaven or lock hell. He is the secret. And so, knowing Jesus is ever important. One of the ways in which we can help people know Jesus is in our prayers. We all pray to some extent. Some of us are better at it than others. Hopefully we're all getting better. But in your prayers, let me ask you, are there faces in your prayers? Are your neighbors in your prayers? Your relatives and the people you work with and in your schools, are there faces in your prayers regularly that they would come to know Jesus? Are we only praying that we can get through our crises and through our brokenness? Folks, our brokenness is not going to be here very long. You know, we can handle all the tragedies and so forth if we know Jesus. And so we really ought to be about much more than getting through the tragedies. We've got to be about others because they have a tremendous tragedy hanging before them, facing God without a Savior. And so we pray that we have a heart and a vision for the people in and around our lives that we see every day, that we want them to come to know Christ. And pray that God gives us a broken heart because of the destiny that we face if we die without protection from what we've done wrong. And we're all guilty before God and need a Savior. Jesus says, "Come, follow me, I will make you fishers of men." Mark chapter 4, verse 9. And for some of us, it's hard for us to speak about Christ, and I hope we're getting better at it. But one thing for sure, we can always speak on our knees. One writer says, many of us cannot reach the mission fields on our feet, but we can reach them on our knees. And so one way we can help people know God's Son is through our prayers. Another way we can help through is through our money. And I don't, you know, I've been here 23 years preaching. You don't hear me preach about much about money often, only as we come to it from time to time in a text. But I want to remind you of Luke 16:9, because I think you can evangelize with your wallet. Jesus says, "I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it's gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." Do you hear it? "I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it's gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings." Well, I know a lot of us feel guilty because we don't evangelize. Well, if you feel guilty, let me tell you this. Spend more money to get the gospel out. Spend less money on your comfort and your personal things, and spend more money on church ministry. It doesn't even have to be here at Grace Church. It's not about Grace Church. It's about introducing people to Jesus Christ, coming to know God and forgiveness and grace. What are your priorities when it comes to giving to God's work and God's ministry? I was pleasantly surprised recently when someone said, "I want to put Grace Church in your will, in the will, my will." Grace Church is not even in my own will. You know, it's saying something. Here's a person getting older in life, they're thinking what matters. What matters is eternity. What matters is the kingdom of God and doing something that's going to leave a significant mark forever. How you spend your money tells what your real values are. We're to be about knowing God's Son, helping people know God's Son. That's why we have Bach to Rock, backyard Bible clubs, communicants class, inquirers class, praying for people. Secondly, we're to be about fellowshipping with God's people, not just knowing God's Son, and of course we're always going to be able to grow deeper in that, but after we come to know God's Son, that He's forgiven us, we're accepted by Him, then God calls us to fellowship. Christianity is not just a Lone Ranger thing. You know, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, had a friend. But in Acts chapter 2:42, it says they devoted themselves, the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. To fellowship. Or if you want Hebrews 10:24 and following, hear this important verse. "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing." Folks, it's not a good idea to try to live Christianity out on your own. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. The closer we get to the return of Christ, the more we should gather, the more we should come together and encourage one another and prod one another on toward love and good deeds. Because in the context of coming together, we're able to really begin to prod one another onto what really matters instead of just doing our own independent thing and we kind of meandering along, and next thing you know we're 80 years old or 90 years old and our lives are just about gone. The truth is, each day gets closer with Christ, and once when Christ returns, hey, there's no more ministry down here. There's no more business of needing to evangelize and to encourage one another. Folks, we'll be as encouraged as we can get. But now, we need to be about prodding and pushing one another on. And that comes in the context of fellowshipping. Fellowship, what does it mean? Because that's what the disciples were devoted to in the early church. It means participating in life together, communion. We say in the Apostles' Creed, "I believe in this, I believe in the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the dead, I believe in the communion of the saints." That word communion is fellowship, koinonia. We have something in common, and we come together in our commonality in Christ to relate to each other. My own personal definition is fellowship is a meaningful giving and receiving among believers, which is made possible through a mutual relationship with Christ. Or the shorthand is simply fellowship is sharing life together around Jesus. That's what our church is to be about. Sharing life together around Jesus. Around His teachings, around all that He is, all that He stands for. And sharing life in that context. You know, sometimes we think Christianity is about just us and Christ, and we live in America, and it's a very strong stress on personal relationship with Christ. But folks, let's not forget that we're in this together. When I go to Western Maryland, to my home in Frostburg, I go over these five or six mountains right there. You know, the big one with the big cut in it. You can see the mountains split wide open. But where the road runs through. But there are, you know, Town Hill, Polish Mountain, Silene, and those number of them. These mountains are beautiful, and they stand worthy in their own right, or they're just, you know, they're just what they are in and of themselves. But you know, if you go under the earth, there's the earth itself is the common structure that supports them all and holds them together. And so it is with each of you who believe in Christ, each of you who come to know Christ, you are linked in Christ together. He is our mutual foundation. And it's there in Christ where we need to have our fellowship. But this can't be just you independently as a quote-unquote mountain Christian. But we come together underneath the surface as we begin to share one another quietly in small groups or in the privacy of our home. And we begin to interface with each other and encourage one another in the context of fellowship. And that's what we need to be about. As they say down south, it's not just you and Jesus, it's y'all. Y'all and Jesus. It's not just Jesus and me, it's Jesus and we. And the Lord's Prayer is a perfect example. How should we pray? Give us our daily bread, right? Lead us not into temptation. Forgive us our debts. The whole context of corporateness, which certainly fits well with this concept of our call to fellowship. And how can genuine fellowship take place? How can we actually begin to get down under the surface and begin to connect in our common relationship with Christ? Let me read one quote that a man by the name of David Watson said. He says, here's how genuine fellowship takes place. It takes place when Christians stop relating to one another as righteous saints. And they accept one another as unrighteous sinners. You hear what he's saying? It says when we relate to each other, not as righteous saints, but as unrighteous sinners. The folks, what he's really saying is when we learn to be real before each other with all our flaws. That doesn't mean we're out hanging out our dirty laundry. It doesn't mean we're out to embarrass you or each other. And we do need to protect each other. But there's something about being genuine, a genuine sinner, in the context of church, which helps us just to relax. It's a wonderful thing if we can create an environment where we can actually be a sinner. You know, this one church, was it Moody's or one of those preachers, Spurgeon, said on the front, welcome, sinners only. You see, if you think you've got it together, there's no sense even coming to church. It's for the people who don't have it together. And we understand that we don't have it together, and we need a context in which we can fellowship as sinners with our common Savior, Jesus Christ. Which brings us to the third point. And I probably changed the order in the front of your bulletin, but we'll get them all. The next one is to grow in God's grace. What are we to be about? Our mission is we fellowship so that we can grow in grace. It's not just to come together and have a nice social club. That's okay. But we want to grow closer to Christ, become more like Him, to become closer to our destiny here on earth. As we said in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, he says, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation. Now a question. Ask yourself. You don't have to embarrass yourself. In the last 3 months, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not growing, 10 being growing well, where would you put yourself? Are you growing spiritually? Folks, we're called to grow. The kingdom parables, what are the parables about? Jesus said it's like a seed, right? The kingdom's like a seed. What's a seed do? It doesn't stay a seed forever, does it? It grows up. That's in terms of quality and quantity. It reproduces. Are you reproducing in your life? I think our church and us personally, we're to be about becoming more like Christ in quality and becoming more in number. I think that's God's will and His normal plan. I realize there are periods of four seasons in a year, at least here in Maryland. Of course, we don't know what they are now. This seems like it's just a dry season forever or something. But a healthy church, I think, is a growing church normally. And we should expect growth personally and in our numbers if we're doing what we should be doing, our mission. Trying to get people to know God's Son and fellowshipping with one another and encouraging growth using the means of grace. Well, how can we make growth happen? How can we? Well, God's got to make it grow, but we can be doing some things practically. I think keep working on daily praying. Get those habits. You know, we go in seasons and out of seasons. Try to be daily and develop the personal discipline of talking to God in the morning and at night and lunch or whenever you do it. Get in the habit of, like, not just having the job, you know. It's not just about you and the kids. It's not just about you and your thing. But it's connecting with God so He can draw strength from Him. So developing those habits of personal prayer, daily scripture reading, meditation, sitting under the preached word like you're doing here, weekly small groups, all these things help contribute to us. But let me give you two practical principles I think that may help us to grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. One of them is that if we can embrace this principle, first one is that if you know Jesus Christ, Christ sees you as a beautiful person. And that's not just true for you, but that's true for everybody around you who knows Christ. He sees you as a beautiful person. That's a big principle for you to buy into, and it's a big principle to you for you to buy in for others. Secondly, there's a principle that Christians are a work in progress. That's a big principle. You are a work in progress. And I underline that word progress. The people next to you and around you are a work in progress. I think we get into trouble when we see each other as a static way. We've got him pigeonholed, got him locked into something. You know, he's a kid. He's the guy that does this. Oh, he's that person there. As opposed to seeing, you know, we're pilgrims. We're on a journey. And I guess maybe a little phrase here might help us here to get these things. Because we're talking about, what are we to be about? We're to be about spiritual growth. Help people growing in grace. And let me just share this little thing I saw. How many saw As Good As It Gets? I know you got different opinions on movies. I don't want to hear about that. As Good As It Gets, okay? I happen to like that movie. It doesn't mean you endorse everything. But there's this one little scene where Helen Hunt's at the table, and she's interacting with Jack Nicholson, and he just insulted her, like he did so many times, without thinking like we all do. And she says, "I need a compliment. I'm going home unless I get a compliment, and I need it now." And then she says, he's thinking about what to say. She says, "If you don't know what a compliment is, let me tell you, it's when you say something good about something else, and it needs to be genuine." So he's like trying to figure out something. Finally, and he really likes her, he's connecting with her. So finally he says, "You make me want to be a better man. You make me want to be a better man." And of course, that's the most wonderful thing he could ever say to her. And when you think about Jesus Christ and you understand that you're under grace, see, you're not like legalistic anymore. You're not like trying to be, it's not like you're guilty. You're just freed up to be yourself and want to do better. Because He accepts you with all your flaws. He makes you want to be a better person. And I think if we can create a church which understands the gospel of grace, we want to grow in grace, that we're all under grace. You understand, folks? Greg's a work in progress. Dan's a work in progress. Emily, all of you are works in progress. And so we accept you and one another as people who are pilgrims. And you've got a lot of junk you got to work through. And I do, too. Some of it slips out and we're embarrassed, you know. Some of it we just confess it right out there, you know. Others we privately work on. Some we're working on as a group. Some we're working on two and two. Some in a small group. whatever. Some of it just between you and God will never get out. And maybe it should never come out. But some of it we can help each other with. But I think if we can create an environment where we understand that God sees you as a beautiful people in Christ, and He also sees you as a work in progress, and that somehow connects to this little phrase that can we be a church where we want to make people come in and say, you know, I want to go to church because when I go there, they make me want to be a better person. And I think that's driven by grace. We understand that we're under grace, all of us. We need to grow in that grace, understand how big and accepting God is, and rejoice in it. It leads to a whole bunch of other things. Renewed obedience, confidence. There's a zillion things we could go on. But we need to encourage one another to grow in the grace of our Savior Jesus Christ. The fourth thing that we're to be about is worship. Our church exists also to help people worship in God's church, not just growing in grace. Psalm 100 says, worship the Lord with gladness. Psalm 29:2, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. There are a number of scriptures, and we know that in Revelation, what are they going to be doing? That's one thing that's definitely going to be happening when we leave this earth. People are going to be gathering around the throne of God to worship. And I want to confess here, too, there's a statement by A.W. Tozer, which I read it and I thought, well, maybe A.W. Tozer is at this point, but it's not me. Tozer says, I mean it when I say I would rather worship God than do anything else. I would rather worship God than do anything else. And I'll be frank with you, if I can use a little projection, if I can project my feelings on the rest of the congregation, I would say that the majority of you are not where A.W. Tozer is. I would say that many of us would want to be out on the golf course. That we would want to be, you know, sitting in front of the TV, or that we would want to be, just leave me alone, I want to be back in bed, you know, whatever it is. And there's a certain place for all these little niceties, you know, sitting in front of a chocolate eclair, or whatever you're going to sit, you know, or do, or hanging out with your best friend, and just hanging with the kids, and there's a place for all that, isn't there? But there's something big about this call to worship God. And that's our call, because that's what we're to be doing. In fact, I think as many ways you could argue from the Bible, that's the only thing we should be doing, concerned about, is worshiping God. Because it's right there next to loving God, isn't it? Greatest commandment, to love God. Now, how can we beef that up? How can we be better about part of that mission? Well, of course, one of the things we can have quality worship like we're having. I'm really enjoying the worship that's been happening here in this church. But I think even with that, it's not about formats. I don't think it's about quality voices or it's about getting all the things right. I think it really, if we're going to do this mission, it really has to do with seeing the greatness of God. Because then when you can see the greatness of God, it becomes more of a spontaneous thing. If we can get our minds just fixed between Sundays on how big God is, you know what I mean? It's like worship is all about responding to the greatness of God. We understand that He's omniscient, He's omnipotent, that He's the Creator, He's our Redeemer. That, you know, it's just 10 million things we could say. That He loves us, He embraces us, He's with us 24 hours a day. That all of our needs are provided for, that He'll never turn us aside. That He's can't be measured. I mean, it's just anything. You grab a hold of God, it's so big, it's incomprehensible. That is, you can't get to the end of it. It's understandable to a degree. And so, when we can get a hold of a big thing from God, a promise or something, then, we want to reflex and say, Lord, I thank You that You just know all my problems. You know, Lord, I thank You that You have forgiving me for my sins. You know, when they're gathering around the throne in Revelation, what are they doing? They're saying, worthy is the Lamb who is slain. You know, people gather from every nation, everybody from all over the world, just bowing down before Him, saying, You are worthy because You were slain for our sins. Purchased men from every tribe and nation and tongue. And so, I think to help us in our mission here for worship, if we can just think about God more between Sundays. Don't wait just on Dan Broadwater or somebody to draw it to your attention. But the more God's on our mind, the bigger we realize He is, and the more we're going to be ready for worship. And we're not going to be staying up to 2 o'clock in the morning watching movies and stuff on Saturday night. Then we'll come down worn out, can't worship because we didn't have God on our mind, you know? So I'm not here to get into a bunch of legalism, but I'm just here to call your attention to our mission. That is to help people worship God. And then finally, to serve in God's world. What's our mission to be about? Serving in God's world. We have a lot of stuff to do down here until the Lord returns. Mark 10:45, Jesus said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." I tell you, there's the ultimate service when you're willing to sacrifice everything. I don't know about you, but my stuff doesn't go too easy. I'm not too eager. You can pray for me because I am, to be frank with you, I don't like Band-Aids. I don't like cuts. I don't like hurt. And I think you probably don't like a lot of those things yourself. But we need to be willing to let it all go if we understand our call to service. You know, there aren't too many things in the Bible outside of the Gospel that tells us what Jesus said and did. Just a couple little snippets outside of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's one snippet that's in Acts. I think it's the only one that tells us some words that came out of Jesus' mouth. Acts 20:35 records one statement that was not lost. Apostle Paul says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus Himself, who said, 'It's more blessed to give than to receive.'" Folks, our church is to be about giving, not receiving. Be blessed. Give as much as you can and as often as you can and as big as you can in terms of time, ideas, money. I don't care what it is. Possessions. Whatever God gives you, just give it away. Get rid of it. I mean, you're not taking it with you anyway. And watch what the Lord does. You want to lay up treasures in heaven, that's the way you do it. You learn to give of yourself and begin to build it into your character more and more by the grace of God. I think we're going to have a church that's a powerful church. In fact, many of you, I can see it in you, you've sacrificed a lot for a lot of the activities we do in the church, and I commend you before God for your sacrifices. And I'll leave you with this little image here. You can examine where you are in this serving. Christ said He came to serve. But it's been said, how are you doing in your serving? A lot of people are like a wheelbarrow. Maybe that's you. Not good unless you're pushed. Some are like canoes. They have to be paddled. Some are like kites. If you don't keep a string on them, they just fly away. Some are like footballs. You can't tell which way they're going to bounce. Some are like balloons. They're full of wind, ready to blow up. But some are like good, expensive watches. Pure gold, open face, quietly busy, and full of good works. Well, I pray we become like those gold watches. By the grace of God. You know, Christ said, "I came myself not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." How else can we respond? But to respond in the same kind of service back to Him, to say thank you. And to be about building His church. Folks, we have a mission impossible here. It really is an impossible mission when you think about it. But we can be about it, and we are to be about it. And let's declare what our mission is together, for those of you who just don't like to say know and grow, worship and fellowship and serve. We'll say the whole thing. Together, our church exists to help people know God's Son, fellowship with God's people, worship in God's church, grow in God's grace, and serve in God's world. Father, we bow before You. Teach us to be about the mission in this church community. Help us to grow in grace of Christ through our fellowshipping and our serving. May Your Spirit fall upon us in this community so that there may be a knowledge and a worship of Christ, who has graciously given Himself for us. Amen.